ॐ नमो भगवते गिरिराजाय ॐ नमो भगवते गिरिराजाय So here comes our next verse. Pranipatya bhavantamataye pushpa lenda kumara kakupi rajayovata molimalika karuna patram iman janam kuru. So Rupa Goswami continues to pray for mercy. We had in the beginning that he wanted just a tiny drop of love for Radha and Krishna, which guarantees their darshan. When I was chanting today, I was remembering this and I was praying for another tiny drop. This tiny drop was a tiny drop of genuine taste. I think when we have genuine taste in the chanting of the holy name, everything is so much easier. So I was praying, my Lord, I'm trying to please you through chanting, but please give me a little taste for the chanting, because when I chant without taste, it's just I always have to control my mind, but when I chant with taste, my mind is automatically controlled. I was chanting like this, and I was looking to Giriraj, and then as I was chanting to Giriraj, some bhakta sang somewhere, Hey Radhika, no, Hey Radhike, Hey Radhike, Hey Radhike. He just chanted this, Hey Radhike, Hey Radhike, Hey Radhike, Hey Radhike. He didn't stop. For half an hour he chanted. It came into my ear by the breeze, which was blowing today quite constantly here. And so then when this song came, I continued to read this prayer of today, and I found out that Rupa Goswami also prays to Radhika single-mindedly, and this is quite interesting. O Sri Krishna, son of the Gopa king, I prostrate before you and beg in a choked voice, please induce that crown jewel of the Braja Gopi, Sri Radha, to make me the recipient of her compassion. Please move Radhika. She gives me her compassion. And this I was totally marveled, because I was amazed, because he just asked Radhika, and at the moment where I'm reading this prayer, this bhakta goes, Hey Radhike, Hey Radhike, Hey Radhike, Hey Radhike. When you do bhajan and you develop something like a loving search or a loving quest, loving journey, then all of a sudden things happen which, at least in your little bhajan world, are not accidental, but which seem to be arranged by Radha and Krishna. It's, I think, everyone can make this experience if you become a little bit eager to search for Krishna and for Radharani, then all of a sudden, in your bhajan world, something happens. I remember when yesterday, I gave this Govardhan, this Giriraj, to one of the devotees, and all of a sudden, so many things happened when she had the desire to please Giriraj. This is, I think, every one of us experience. The moment you have some genuine desire in your bhajan, some genuine feeling, then in Braj, immediately there is response. There is immediately an answer. But if you have no desire and you do have no genuine feeling, then, and you do things only mechanically, then the land of jewels turns into the land of dust and animal stool for you. Yeah? So Rupa Goswami is here asking for something special. He says, Krishna, you please talk to Radha, that Radha makes me her devotee. In Mana Shiksha, Raghunath Das Goswami also arrives at the same conclusion, that he wants to single-mindedly focus on Radharani. He says, O mind, remember Sri Krishna as the Lord of the Queen of Braja. Yeah? He is related to Radharani, therefore you can remember Krishna. Radha is Krishna's most beloved. Lalita is her girlfriend, and Vishakha is the teacher of all the young gopikas. Then he speaks, Raghunath Goswami, about Radhakund and Giriraj, which must be remembered. And it's very nice. He says, I always remember Radhakund and Giriraj as the two places that bestow love for Radha and Krishna. He says like this. Apparently, in Radhakund and in Giriraj, we can obtain love for Krishna. So anyways, the main point is here, Radha Nishtha, or that focus on Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Rupa Goswami, right, that there are 8,400,000 species of life. Most of them are animals, and only 400,000 species are human. Now, then he goes to explain that most of these human beings just follow the appetite of their senses. They are more or less like animals. Amongst them, there's a minority which has accepted the Vedas. But amongst them, there is only a little minority who doesn't just do lip service to the Vedas, but who follows the Vedas. Now, amongst them, the majority are jnanis, kamis, and yogis. And only a few of them are bhaktas. Now, amongst them, most are bhaktas of Narayan. Amongst them, a few are bhaktas of Krishna. But amongst these Krishna devotees, only a few know about Radharani. And amongst those who know of Radharani, a very minority are servants of Radharani. So, we here in this little room, dimly lit by two candles, and a light which sometimes is honor, sometimes is striving for existence, are a very small group of devotees who somehow have at least theoretically attained taste in Radharani's service. Now, if this becomes more condensed, then we will become technically snehadika for Radha. That means more inclined to Radha than to Krishna, and our particular rati or particular love, which is a sthayi bhava, won't be Krishna rati or love for Krishna, but it's called bhavolosa rati, as far as I remember. That's a mood of bhava where you are constantly in a festival of divine bliss, the bliss of Srimati Radharani's maidservants. So this is very rare, you must say. Rupa Goswami says, O Pashupalendra Kumar, O son of the kings of the Gopas, I fall down before you. And plaintively, that is full of misery, pray at your lotus feet for mercy. What sort of mercy do you seek? Asks Krishna. Sri Rupa replies, please make this maidservant the object of the benevolence, its mercy of Sri Radha, the crown jewel of the young maidens of Gokula. So this is what Rupa Goswami wants. A very special blessing. Now to make, because not all of us like philosophy all the time, I will tell you a little Leela. You see, even the devotees of Vrindavan can't understand the Brijvasis, and I mean the Ragatmika Brijvasis, are not always invited into this Radha Bhava. And there is a verse which says, I wrote this down, let Krishna's parents stay far away. Let the elders stay far away. I offer my obeisances to them. Let the friends stay in some distance. Let the servants stay especially far away. What to speak of ordinary people? They should be very far away from the kunja, from the gate of the kunja where Radha and Krishna are inside. Let them stay far away. I want to stay at the entrance of that kunja, and I will hear the little bells which ring at Radharani's sash, it's like a belt, as she is engaged in loving pastimes with Sri Krishna. The elders stay far away, the parents stay far away, Yashoda, Nanda, the friends, Sridham, and so on, should stay far away, because they are not privileged to enter this atmosphere where Krishna and Radha are most happy. There are, of course, some Priyanama Sakas, that is, friends of Krishna who have knowledge of the extraordinary Madhurya Rasa, like Madhu Mangal and Subal and Sridham. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, even they cannot be there in the kunj. When Subal or Sridham are fanning Radha and Krishna, they always do this from outside of the Kunj. Like, imagine this would be the altar room, and you have seen there is a rope before the altar room. So they stand before the, in some temples, especially South Indian temples, I've seen there is a provision, you can stand outside the room and have a rope, and somehow this rope moves this huge fan back and forth. So Subal and Sridham, they have to also stay outside of the gate of the Kunj. Only the little Manjaris are there, and they look through the windows, and when the time comes for them to do service, like giving a glass of water and so on, tambula and so on, they may go inside and outside as the service requires. Once Krishna came to the Kunj of Radharani, he wanted to meet Radharani, and whom does he see? He sees the little manjaris making garlands, fresh garlands for Radha. So Krishna becomes so satisfied. These little special devotees are only serving Radha from morning till evening. How wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. And he discusses with Radha what type of mercy he should give these servants of Radharani. So this is very, very rare what Rupa Goswami prays for, and I think we all know he is Rupa Manjari. Even the elders, that is the mother, this was explained, must stay far away from this. See, Mother Yashoda always sees Krishna as a little child who needs to be breastfeeded. Now, once it happened that Krishna, doing purva raga, is that when he fell in love with Radha, saw Radha while he was herding the cows, his eyes came like this, and he saw Radha. And somehow, he was so moved that the picture of Radha stayed in his heart. And when he went home in the night to sleep, he could not sleep, but he cried for Radharani. After all, he was separated. He just cried and cried and cried. In the morning, Yashoda came to wake up Gopal. Gopal, Gopal, the sun has already risen. Only you have not risen from the bed. Everyone is up and waits for you. And, oh, Gopal, she looks at Gopal. Your eyes are so red. What happened to you? Maybe yesterday you have played so much with your friends in the Yamuna. And they have sprinkled water in your eyes, and now your eyes are so red. Well, we must somehow counteract the redness in the eye. This is now a very special branch counteraction. So she went quickly into her room and got a yellow cloth, because yellow neutralizes the red. Do you agree? So she brought this yellow cloth on the eyes of her Gopal. But Gopal, seeing the yellow golden cloth, started to cry even more. Because that cloth reminded him of the reason for his tears. Of Srimati Radharani. So she cried even more. So his niece came in, Kundalata. Kundalata is often described to be the niece. Maybe, Bhagavati, you remember her family background? Just now, daughter of one of the brothers of Nanda Maharaj, but I'm not sure. We are not sure. It needs to be. If you get an idea, you tell us. So Kundalata, who is the niece, she's related in a family way to Krishna, knew that Krishna had seen Radha and as a result felt deep separation. And Kundala jokingly said to Yashoda, "This yellow cloth won't do. The only medicine is marriage." Yashoda hears this. And you must remember, for Yashoda, Krishna is always a little boy, because for her Vatsalya Bhava, that is parental relationship, she needs to see Krishna in that light. Yashoda had seen that Krishna developed some attraction to the Malaya breeze. The Krishna sometimes also stared when it was full moon into the full moon night. And there was another thing she had noticed. Instead of sitting on her lap, Krishna liked to be amongst the lotus flowers. So she had wondered, why is this? These Malayan breeze, flowers, and also what else? Moonlit nights, they stimulate romantic feelings. But he is a boy who only thinks of playing with his friends. She had noticed that. But for her, it was just not conceivable that Krishna had developed an attraction for the beautiful gopis and especially for Srimati Radharani. It was not possible. Also, Yashoda would never understand that she would enter now here into this room. I mean, that would be the perfection of our Kati Rata. But if she would see Radha and Krishna like this, she would think, why have you put these two pictures together? I mean, she's the daughter of Brishabhanu. They don't know each other very well. My Krishna's only with his friends, you know. For her, she wouldn't draw any connection like you. You would think, oh, this is Radha. You can't have a picture with Krishna without Radha. For Mother Yashoda, this is not true. This is not her conception. Because, remember, Vatsalya Bhav means you think of your child as a son, as a little boy who's dependent on you. This is sometimes a problem in this world for young boys. I can imagine that Harris, a very nice young, hopefully devotee, and his mother, he's now coming into teenage life. His mother, I think, is always still caring for him like a mother, and sometimes the boys said, they want to escape the motherly mama, you know. We saw that yesterday, or the day before yesterday, when we read in Krishna Bhavanamrita, how Mother Yashoda just doesn't let Krishna go into the forest, but has all these ideas of, you know, let us go into the forest, or let us go with you in the forest. It's not a nice place for you. You're too small. You will hurt yourself. Why did you have to take birth amongst cowherders? What is the reason, you know? So, you can see from this, that this feeling towards Radha as the one who needs to be induced by Krishna to show mercy, you know, who, this concept is very, very rare. It's for very special devotees. It's for devotees who have very special mercy. This is the understanding of Krishna, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pronounced. He said, there is no worship higher than that of the gopis anywhere. So he also understood Radha and Krishna are the supreme excellence. So this is a little bit, it's a nice verse, isn't it? Let Krishna's parents stay, and the elders stay where they are. I offer them my obeisances. Let the friends stay at some distance, and the service should be especially far from the gate of the Kunj where I stay, and want to hear the bells from Srimati Radharani's belt. Because see, you, this Radha and Krishna, you cannot understand this Radha and Krishna when you are in the male thought. Therefore the servants must stay far away, the friends of Radha and Krishna. And male, that male bhava, or it's a purusha bhava, is something which we all have in this material world. It's a world that we want to enjoy ourselves. As long as we have this mood, we just will not be able to enter the understanding of Radha and Krishna in all earnestness. Good. So I wanted to continue our reading here with from the Krishna Bhavanamrita. You know, Krishna has heard about Radha's state in his absence and has sent a signal that Sri Radhika should meet him at such and such place, and then he plays on his flute, and the flute song says, "Come, come, so here's something about the flute of Krishna. All the melodies and musical scales, as well as the goddesses in heaven, swooned when they heard Krishna's flute song." Imagine that. That's in the Bhagavatam, when the goddesses come and fly with their husbands in these vimanas over Vrindavan, the flute song comes up to the goddesses. They swoon in the lap of their husbands. For a moment they think, we are sitting here so privately with our husbands, but now we become attracted to a flute player. But the husbands also become attracted to Krishna's flute, and they think, what will our wives think of us? We are males, but we are attracted to Krishna, who is another male playing the flute. They will think we are abnormal. We have an abnormal attraction. But every time the husbands and the wives leave Vrindavan in the vimanas, they say, tomorrow we will come again. There's no problem. So they, hear what the mountains do. The mountains melted like no other object. Although they are the hardest object of the world, they felt the most love for Krishna. Seeing the melted rocks floating here and there, the thirsty birds and deer began to drink this fluid with great fun. If you look very close over Giriraj's left eye, he has also melted. You look very closely. Now when Radhika saw, you know, she's on her way to Krishna, she sees some deer becoming attracted to this extraordinary flute player who makes the goddesses swoon and the mountains melt. And while she goes to Krishna, some deers overtake her. Deer? And she said, "Aho Shakis! These deer are justly called Krishna Sara, for they take Krishna to be the essence of all things. Even if their wives are attracted to Giridhari, the ocean of mercy, their husbands don't become envious, rather they follow them to make them happy. Saki, look! These does are the female deer, very eagerly run to Krishna, turning their backs on their bucks." Bucks means husbands. "But when they hear the song of Krishna's flute, they become stunned like pictures." In other words, the deers can't walk any longer. "Our husbands are against our meetings with Krishna. But although the husbands of these does are favorable to Krishna, they still cannot meet him because they become stunned." You know, the gopis say, when our husbands only hear that we say the name Krishna, just the name Krishna, they already become envious. We can't do japa. We can't do chant Krishna's name. They become so envious. But look here, this does run freely to Krishna and the husbands run along. This is a good marriage. Lalita said, look here! You know, they go through Vrindavan and they see the effect of Krishna's flute. Look, these birds here, look. They were drinking from the water basin when Krishna's flute song turned the water into stone. Now their beaks are stuck halfway in the water and they are anxious to pull them out again by flapping their wings. In this way, the gopis, they're totally excited by describing the nectarian sound of Krishna's flute. And they drank the nectar through the cups of their ears. And then they were serving it to others. Now, I think... is also, I'm reading all this nectar through my cups of the my cup of the mind. I'm not reading loud, but I'm reading to myself, and then I want to serve to others. So imagine the gopis are hearing this nectar of Krishna's flute, and then they put their own descriptions to it, which is like camphor, and then this nectar of Krishna's flute becomes camphorized, then they serve it. So, it was not easy for the gopis to follow the song of Krishna's flute, because they also showed symptoms. Remember that those wanted to go, but they were stunned, they couldn't move on. The gopis also felt inertia, horripilation, and shiverings of ecstasy, and couldn't really move. Somehow, with great difficulties, they managed to come to the sun temple, where they bowed down to the sun god, and then they left their puja paraphernalia there, because they wanted to do puja after some time, and they proceeded right to Radhakund. And in Radhakund, something wonderful happened. I would like to finish this chapter, but it's so full of nectar. While Radharani walks to Radhakund, the surroundings of Govardhan Hill, she comes here, become filled with her effulgence. And this effulgence of Radharani, which moves near the Govardhan Hill, is seen by Krishna, who waits for Radha at Radhakund. And his heart begins to blossom like a lotus which is opened by the sun's rays. Then he thinks to himself, my beloved Padmini, that is the lotus-like Radhika, is now beautifying the forest around her pond with her dearmost friends. Otherwise, how could my heart suddenly become so happy? He feels the atmosphere is changing. There is some special beauty in the atmosphere. It must be Radharani who feels this. Then suddenly a breeze, which is the best of servants, comes and carries Radhika's bodily fragrance in Krishna's direction. When Krishna smelled it, he became so excited, and he stopped playing his flute because he was not able to control his restless mind. He felt just like the young bee when it is dancing in the fragrance of the malati flowers. The bee goes, it has no idea of any direction any longer, because it smells so nice. So Radharani's wonderful fragrance is just so exciting for Krishna that he becomes like a little bee being torn around in the storm of the fragrance of the malati flower. Just to astonish Krishna, Yogamaya Devi filled the whole area around Govardhan Hill with the uncovered golden luster of Sri Radha's body. Approaching Radhakund, Krishna said, Madhu Mangalo! Madhu Mangalo! Ananda Chaitanyo! Rangino! Where have we come? This is not Govardhan. It's not Braja Bhumi, because everything here is so golden. It must be Mount Meru or Ilavrita Vasha who have sent expansions of themselves to Braj. So everything is. So while Krishna spoke to Madhu Mangal, he became most anxious to see Radha. But listen what happened to Radhika. Radhika is now a Govardhan. She has not seen Krishna, but she looks at the forest around Radhakund. And what does she see? Krishna is in that forest, so she sees the effulgence of Krishna in the forest. And Radhika becomes dizzy of Krishna's great sweetness. And then they begin to see each other. You know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes it indirectly. First they see only their effulgences, and then from a distance Radha and Krishna took each other, now saw each other, but they mistook each other to be the lightning and the champaka vine, Radha. And Radha thought, there's a cloud and a tamal tree. Then Radha looks again. Cloud, tamal tree. Is this my lover Krishna? Krishna is so overwhelmed. Is this my beloved Radhika? Oh. Then again they identified each other with the aforementioned objects. I don't know if you have seen this in your psychology. When I walk through the forest, I see sometimes trees, and then I see the trees for a moment what I secretly wish to see. I always like to see deers in the forest. And I see the trees as a deer, but then it switches back. Then I see again it's a tree. Do you also have this sometimes? Have you seen it? No? Different ways, but you're not sure, is this this or is it that? And Radha and Krishna also, is it a golden, is it a lightning there in the end? And a champaka vine? Or Radha, is it a cloud? Or a tamashi? What is it? But they want to know, so they come closer and closer to each other. And finally, Radha is saying, look, Hari has come here, and he has come here to catch me. I cannot flee. My legs are stunned and my body shivers. Why are you all laughing in such a silly way instead of protecting me? Oh, restless gopis, you are having fun, but I am dying of fear. That is, can you understand Radhika's emotion? She wants Krishna so much. Yes, Krishna is close. She is afraid of Krishna. That is, this is the psychology of lovers. So then, there is a beautiful pastime taking place. They finally meet. All the Sakis leave Radharani under a pretext. They leave Radharani with Krishna and they spend time together in the Kunja. And then Krishna has an idea. He takes black musk and he rubs Srimati Radharani with a black mask so that she is all black and no longer golden. And then Krishna dresses Radharani as Krishna. He looks comfortable. Krishna really, the turban, the dhoti, the everything is just like Krishna. And then he says to Radha. Radha sits down in her usual modest and shy way and does japa. So then the sakis come in. Oh, sakis, they say, to Krishna. That can't be. Krishna has learned secret mantras, tantras, to attract our Radha. And he has now learned the art to change our Radha into Krishna. See, he is chanting there, and then the sakis point at Radha, who is dressed up by Krishna as Krishna, and chanting his mantras. He is a great zauberer, magician. So then the gopis turn towards Krishna, thinking that Krishna is Radha. You follow? And they ask, what happened to you, Saki? Your form has changed. How, you know, we are now in big trouble. We took you from your parents' house, and it was understood we could bring you back, but now you are changed into Krishna. So Krishna then answers back in the voice of Radha. He said, Krishna is too much. What he did to me, he did some magic. We were just together, and Krishna all of a sudden starts chanting these mantras. No, on water, and he sprinkles the water. The only place where this mantra, this magical water, which has been surcharged with the mantras has not come with my throat. Yeah? That's why I speak like Radha. That's why I can speak still like myself, you know. He says like this. And Radha just, you know, smiles internally about Krishna's cleverness. And then, after, you know, before Krishna changed me, he did things with me which I'm too shy to explain to you, but I can show you. And then Krishna takes all the sakis into kunjas and privately shows them the art of love, and the sakis become very joyful, and they know what they thought is Radha disguised as Krishna is actually Krishna himself. They understand the whole thing, and then they go for other leelas. So this pastime of Radha and Krishna are just so wonderful. They are pastimes of the highest love, but we always have to be very careful when we enter them, that we are not, or when we hear about them, that we don't do this from the position of enjoyers, but we just understand this is the play of God, who likes to play in the forests of Vrindavan, and we lovingly accept this as his mercy, that we can hear about it. And you know, hearing about these pastimes of Radha and Krishna will have an effect. The effect is that we understand the divine love story is so much more intense, it's so much more playful than our frustrations with love or our own aspirations and unfulfilled hopes in this direction. And we leave this subject matter, which is a troubling subject matter in this world, behind. You know that love in this world can hurt so much, and there can be so much expectations which are not fulfilled, and so much intoxication, and so much maya, and so much, you know, covering it is a problematic subject matter. But as we hear about the intensity and the specialness of Radha and Krishna's relation, we, after some time, will have no more interest in this mundane version of love, which is a little reflection of the Adirasa, the original relationship, and in this way we will march forward in our lives with an uncomplicated, happy mind. That's the idea of hearing Radha Krishna's Leela. In the Bhagavatam it says, if one hears this with faith, the disease in the heart, called lusty feelings, will go eventually. Has to hear with faith. So one becomes free of the disappointment. Pain, this is confirmed. One becomes free of the disappointing aspects. Hare Krishna. This is what I have prepared for you for today at the sacred site of Govindakund. This is a Leela Stali, a place where a wonderful Leela took place. And we are the guests of Govindaji here. Thank you for coming, and Hare Krishna.